is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 50, and today we'll be talking about my version of the top 10 activities you can do with your toddler to encourage their development. These activities are going to be geared towards kids that are around the two-year-old range or developmental level. Before I get into that, I wanted to mention that I've been having some technical issues with my website this past week, and it was down for a few days off and on. So if you were wondering about it, that's what was going on. But it's back up and running and completely great now, so feel free to go there and check out all of the resources in the Community Resource Directory. And if you want to do some of your regular Amazon shopping using the links on my website, I would also appreciate that support. This is my 50th episode, and I wanted to mention that because I can't believe that I've already gotten to that point. Thank you all for listening to me and supporting me for these first 50 episodes. I hope we can continue on for another 50 and then some. Now today I thought it would be fun to talk about some ideas of activities that you can do with your two-year-old child. These ideas will revolve around developmental skills that two-year-olds either have or are working on or will be starting to do soon. A lot of these activities you will probably do with them naturally, or they will show interest in anyway. But you can use the information in the show to think about how to make sure that you are capitalizing on their development while doing these activities with them. Toddler activities and play schemes are fun, and they sometimes seem like they are just fun and there's nothing else to it. But that is usually not the case because they are little sponges at this age, and everything you do with them has the potential to making some type of impact on their development. Of course, as you know, all kids move through developmental stages in their own way. So take these ideas as just that, ideas, and make them work for your child as much as possible, or change the ideas to fit your situation the best. I'm really just hoping to give you a place to start thinking about development and fun ways to encourage their skills at this age. Two-year-olds are really starting to do a lot of new things. They're quickly learning new skills and getting better at the skills they have been already learning. All areas of development tend to grow during this time, so it is a really fun age to talk about. The activities that I'm listing today are not going to be in any particular order. They are not number one being the most important thing to do with your child or anything like that. Just 10 activities that I put together in a random order. The first activity I will mention is a hide a seek with a toy. In this version of the hide-and-seek game, you are hiding a toy rather than a person hiding. Of course, the original version of this game is fun also and can be great for learning turn-taking and counting and all of those things too. When you do this alternate version, you can really focus on things like visual scanning skills and language, especially related to prepositions. As always, get creative and have fun with this. There are so many ways to alter this to fit each child's developmental level and interests. You can hide one toy or make it even more fun and hide several toys. Now for this game, you can hide them in plain sight or hide them behind or under things, again depending on your child's abilities. One thing to consider in this game is working with your child on language. Use words like up, down, in, on, under, and beside to give them hints or to describe where the toys are hidden. This is also great for working on visual scanning. They're using their eyes to search the room by just looking to see if they can see the toys. This is especially true if some of the toys are hidden up high where the child can't reach it themselves. They have to look up to see it and then tell you with words or gestures where it is. It's up there or it's on the table. If they can't say these words yet, you can model the language for them when they point to it, or if they tell you in another way, like, I see it, or whatever it is they can do. Have them use their language to ask you to lift them up to get the toys if possible. They can gesture with their hands or just say up if they're able to do that, or approximate the sound. Try putting the toys in a variety of positions so you can talk about the different places, like it's next to the couch or under the pillow, things like that. After they find all of them, you can count them to make sure you found all of them. Most likely, 3 to 5 toys are a good amount to start with. Then you can hide them again or in the same places or in new places if they want to do it again. Or they can also take turns to hide them, and you can find the toys too. Prepositions themselves are a skill that I wouldn't necessarily expect kids to be good at until later in the 2s and into the 3-year-old range, but they should be able to start at least practicing the concepts, even if they don't know too many of them. Activity number 2 is dress-up play. All kids this age can benefit from this type of play, boys and girls. It's not just about girls trying to be princesses, although that is pretty common. But any girl and boy can dress up in costumes, or even your old clothes that are way too big for them, but are fun to try and put on and pretend they are someone else. This activity not only works on them practicing with their dressing and undressing skills, but also imaginative play with pretending to play house or castle or any other scenario. If kids have a chance to experience and practice putting clothes on and taking them off in a fun way because they're playing a game, and the pressure is off at that moment to hurry up and get dressed so they can leave and go out to preschool or go to the store, they can work on these skills of managing the clothes and maybe be successful in getting them done by themselves when they don't have to rush. Although, if they do need help with things, that's okay too. When kids play dress-up, they usually like to put one outfit on, then take it off fairly quickly and change into something else. It's fun to wear different things, but it's also good practice and repetition in one setting. Whereas, usually we just take off our pajamas in the morning and put on the clothes for that day, and then we're pretty much done until later when we change back into pajamas. But with dress-up play, they're doing these actions usually several times during that playtime, which is really, really good practice. Also, it is usually easier for kids to put on and take off clothing that is too big for them. Since it's not tight-fitting, they can pull it on or off more easily. Don't forget accessories like hats and scarves and shoes and gloves and things like that. Moving on to the third activity, because it can go hand-in-hand with dress-up play, is pretend play with a kitchen set. Play kitchens with food and dishes and things are perfect for practicing real-life home or mealtime situations, but they are just, in general, great for pretending. We pretend to drink from the cup and learn the difference between really drinking something out of it and just pretending, so they get the idea that it's not really happening, but we are acting like it did. This is a difficult skill for many kids, but this age is the perfect time to work on developing it. They can pretend to feed their baby doll or stuffed animal using the spoon or a cup or a bottle, role play the mealtime situation by sitting at their play table or make a picnic on the floor with a blanket. A lot of kids love to pretend to cook for adults and bring us pizza repeatedly, then bring dessert and refill our drinks. There is so much that goes on with this. And while it can get repetitive for adults, and we don't need that repetition for ourselves, remember that they do need it, and that is how kids learn and how they get things they learn to stick in their memory. Another piece of the kitchen play, dress-up play, and pretty much all activities at this age is focusing on language. Model the words for them that go along with the activity. You can model the language we use when we are participating in mealtimes and getting dressed. You can say things like, more water please, or it's all gone. Give them the vocabulary by naming the plates, cups, spoons, the different food items, the sink, plus all of the articles of clothing and the dress-up scheme. Plus at this age, kids are not only building their vocabulary like crazy, but also starting to put 2 words together, and sometimes 3 words. So modeling those short sentences or phrases for them will help them by hearing the phrases and they can try to imitate you. Most of the time, kids and even adults are more willing to listen to other people and learn from them if it doesn't seem forced. This is easier to do during playtimes because we can just model for them and not pressure them by telling them, say, whatever. These can be low-key, no-pressure, and fun times, and their imitation of your words often comes out naturally and more easily when they aren't specifically thinking about it. Kids around 24 months of age should have around 50 words in their vocabulary. So between 2 to 3 years, that number goes up a lot because they really start to learn so many new words during this time. The fourth activity that I want to talk about is a game called Simon Says. This game is where you say, Simon says, blank. Like Simon says, touch your head. Or Simon says, turn around. After each time when Simon says, the kids are supposed to follow the direction and do whatever he said. The other part of this game is when you leave out the Simon says and just say, touch your nose. They're supposed to ignore that and not touch their nose because Simon didn't say to do it. This is a great game, but simple one for listening to the person giving the directions and for actually following the directions. If they don't understand the part where you leave out the Simon says and they aren't supposed to do the action, then just skip that for now and just keep reinforcing the Simon says part. This game is great for not only following directions, but also increasing their attention span to one activity, and also for building on their receptive vocabulary. They may not be able to name each body part, for example, but if you are naming the body part, they may be able to recognize it, and that is the receptive part of language. So not only building the vocabulary of words that they understand, but also learning or practicing identifying body parts, and just overall body awareness of where they are in space and what their body is doing. So Simon says, jump in the air, fall on the floor, squat down, touch your elbows, clap your hands 3 times, make a fish face, stomp your feet, quack like a duck. All of these things that work on all of those skills that I just named. This is one of those games that can and should get creative. One of the cool things about this game is that more than one child can play it at the same time. And if there are more kids doing it, then the ones that understand what Simon just said to do can be peer models for the ones that maybe didn't understand it. This can be great for helping the ones who didn't understand something because they can learn to watch the other kids and then imitate it, and maybe next time they will remember what to do for that direction. The fifth activity is a broad one, just singing songs that have gestures with them. Things like The Wheels on the Bus, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, The Itsy Bitsy Spider. There are tons and tons of preschool age songs with gestures that are great for this age. Singing songs is fun, and a lot of kids really like songs, and they like it when their parents sing. If it looks like you're having fun singing them, it helps them engage even more. Then adding the gestures makes it something that the child can participate in, even if they can't say all of the words in the songs. They can try and imitate some of the gestures and actions with their hands. This goes for all kids this age. Not only kids who have language delays can benefit from this. All kids this age are building their vocabulary, and they may not know all of the words or pick up on them very quickly, but the actions are usually easier for kids to do right away, and it gives them a sense of satisfaction that they can participate in some way during the songs. I also love to add head, shoulders, knees, and toes to this list, again, to work on finding body parts, and the movements are so large, gross motor, that it really reinforces where your head is versus your toes. The sixth activity involves creating a book of pictures that have your family members in it. There are some really easy web-based photo sharing sites like Snapfish or Shutterfly that you can upload your digital pictures to and create a book right there on their site. You can also just go to a local store and have them print some of your pictures for you right there. Anyway, the whole point is to create a small flip book with your family. Your 2-year-old should be in at least one of the pictures. Mom, dad, siblings, the dog and the cat, and maybe a couple of extended family members if you see them on a regular basis, like an aunt or uncle or grandparent. There shouldn't be too many pages or photos, though. Really, like 6 to 8 pictures is probably ideal just to start with. I also like to have some of the pictures that just have only one person in them. This makes it easier to see if they can identify who it is by their name, and you can be sure they are looking at the right person when there's only one person in the photo. This is great for having them work on labeling everyone's names if they can, and if they can't name everyone yet, you can label the people for them or ask them to point to whoever. If there are two pages showing at the same time, this is an excellent activity for practicing receptive language. See if they can point to the correct person when there are two pictures showing at the same time, and especially if there's only one person in each picture. I also like to make a second book where there are about the same number of pictures, but this one shows other things like your child going down a slide or eating or any other identifiable activity that you can talk about the details of the pictures. Seeing pictures of themselves doing things that they like to do helps them remember and recall those moments, which is great for memory and language development. It also starts the process of them telling a story. They can talk you through what is going on in the pictures and describe what they are doing and where they were when they were doing it, and maybe what color the toy is, or how did the food taste that they were eating in that picture. All of the descriptive words that helps build on their vocabulary and recall of a story or situation that happened in the past. Now, language is not the only aspect of this activity. You also have fine motor piece, where they are learning to turn pages in books, one page at a time, using both hands to work together in this process. And they are learning to use their index finger to point to pictures of people. First, they might use their whole hand to touch the page, but you can work on getting them to only use their index finger and try to keep the rest of their fingers closed while they're pointing. The seventh activity is riding tricycles, or let's just say ride on toys in general. Riding on the toys that they just sit on and push themselves forward with their feet are great for working on gross motor coordination and strength. It takes core activation and strength also to sit upright on these things and not fall off. Of course, the handles can help with this, and some of these toys have a backrest for them to lean back on if they need to. If they are good at the ride-on toys without pedals, you can also throw in some of the ones with pedals. It can be tricky to find ones that fit right because sometimes their legs have trouble reaching the pedals, so you might want to have them try it at the store or wherever you get it from before buying it. I like the tricycles that sit more upright and roll fairly easily so they can be successful in propelling themselves forward. Don't worry if they can't do it right away and resort back to pushing the ground with their feet instead. They will eventually get better at it by practicing in short intervals over time, and we don't want them to get frustrated by making them continue to try too long at one sitting if they aren't getting it. They may just not be quite ready for that yet. These pedaling activities are great for their development, not only because of the strengthening of their leg muscles and their core, but also because the reciprocal movements of their legs pedaling is great for brain development. It encourages the right and left sides of their body to work together by crossing the right and left sides of the brain through the coordinating of pedaling. Once they get going with the pedals around and around, it reinforces this right and left sides working together and strengthens all of those pathways in the brain. But why is this important? Well, it helps with body awareness, gross motor coordination, fine motor coordination, reading and writing. It gets back to the whole body working together and being able to literally use both sides of the body in a coordinated way. Another item out there are balance bikes. I have a link to these in the show notes for today. They're little tiny bikes without pedals. This may seem strange, but they can be great for working on balance and core strength, and it does help a lot of kids figure out how to ride a bike without falling over. They make it move by pushing with their feet and alternating one foot at a time, as if they are walking or eventually almost running on it. Once they get comfortable with this and get good at it, they will start to get the bike moving and be able to hold both feet up off the ground and coast for a few seconds before pushing again and repeating the process. This is one stepping stone to being able to ride a regular bike with pedals and without training wheels when they're ready to move on. I would suggest using these balance bikes if you want, but also using tricycles and things with pedals too, so they can practice that action as well, for the reasons that I mentioned a minute ago about the coordinating right and left sides of the brain. The eighth activity is making an obstacle course. It is another mainly gross motor activity with some sensory benefits that tend to happen naturally. Two-year-olds are continuing to work on their walking and running skills, but those aren't the only gross motor skills out there. They're starting to do more jumping up using both feet at the same time, jumping down off a short step, or jumping forward are some other options. They're also learning how to stand on one foot, walk backwards, walk on a line, stand on their tiptoes, and many, many, many more things. So if you can create your own homemade obstacle course where they can do some of these actions, not only will they have fun doing it, but they will be strengthening their motor skills. You don't have to use all of them in one obstacle course, and in fact, I wouldn't try to do that. I would focus on four or five obstacles and see how many of the different areas of gross motor you can incorporate into those few obstacles. An obstacle course might look something like this. Crawl under the table, then jump over a pool noodle, then log roll to the couch, walk backwards around the couch, jump up and give you a high five, then do it again. You can have them change one of the actions and create their own if they want. And this could be an ever-changing obstacle course each time they go through it. Could be either the same or slightly different or completely different. The repetition of the same activity is nice, but if they are doing other ones and continuing to practice a variety of movements, that's great too. This is another one of those get creative activities, but don't throw in too many in one course. You might want to put some parameters on it and say, something like after you go through it two times, then we'll change it up and make a new one. Or then you can let them choose one of the obstacles to change and create their own. Giving parameters like that can be helpful with this age, letting them know what the quote-unquote rules are and helping them be successful in following those. Not that these are strict rules or anything like that. This is playtime, so it should be fun. And you don't have to do that at all, obviously. I just know that a lot of toddlers like to know what's going to happen next, and this is one easy way to help them figure that out with this game that could seem like it's a never-ending game. So giving them that parameter can help them see there is an ending to that obstacle. The ninth activity is getting into the fine motor area. Of course, I can't leave that out, being an OT and all. This one makes a lot of parents cringe when I talk about giving a toddler scissors, but this is the time between 2 to 3 years when they can start to learn how to use them. They will use them in kindergarten for sure, and now is a good time to start working on those skills. If you've been listening to my show for a while, you probably know that I start off by working on pre-scissor skills, by teaching them how to use things like kitchen tongs or ice cube tongs to pick up toys with. This lets them practice the squeezing part of the scissor skill in a way that you don't have to hand them scissors before they know what they're doing at all. They can use the tongs to pick up little blocks or Lego pieces or minifigures, whatever you have around that will stay in the tongs when they squeeze them. Some things will easily slip out of the tongs when the kids squeeze them, and that is very frustrating. So experiment with different objects that stay in better before you give it to them. I like to use those 1-inch wooden blocks that have alphabet letters and pictures on them with kitchen tongs. They don't really fall out that easily and are just about the perfect size. Then the kids put the blocks into little cups or different containers using the tongs to get them there. This does work on keeping the tongs closed a little longer and gives the kids a purpose and a point to the activity. You can do any number of squeezing activities to work on this motion using spray bottles or bath toys that spray out water or many other ways of doing it. It also helps to strengthen their hands and fingers. But of course, getting to the actual scissor activity is even better when you're ready to move on to that. And once they have the squeezing idea down, they should be ready too. There are so many different types of scissors out there for little kids. You can try any that you want. Just make sure they are kid-sized, and that will make it easier for them to manage and be successful. You can work on having them cutting scraps of paper or junk mail or catalogs or just regular paper or construction paper. These are all fun things to cut. To start out, they will probably just make snips around the edges of the papers, and that is perfectly fine. You can also cut paper into long strips and have them snip through that. That will help. Some kids really like that because when they cut it, paper falls down, and that's kind of fun too. They can also cut other things like Play-Doh, which is nice because it's soft and they can see where they've cut into the Play-Doh, and that can also be reinforcing for them. It can be difficult for some kids to learn how to open the scissors back up to make the next snip. This is really good practice for that. So I try to encourage kids also to only use one hand on the scissors. Don't use the other hand to try and open the scissors back up with both hands at the same time. I don't want them getting one hand accidentally too close to the cutting part and hurting themselves. Plus, we don't use two hands usually for holding and managing scissors, so I don't want them to get into this habit and rely on it. You can help them get the scissors open if they need it while their hand is still in the grip part of the scissors and just show them how they work. It will take some time, but they will get the hang of it. And if that's not improving, you can look into getting some self-opening scissors that spring back open after they make their snips. Now, I will say that once they start learning how to use scissors, you need to be even more vigilant than before at keeping all scissors hidden away in a locked or secure cabinet where they can't get them without your help. Even kids with the best intentions can cut the wrong thing if they are left unsupervised with the scissors, even for a second, as too many parents out there know. I know this is why parents are hesitant to teach their kids how to use scissors, but it is important to teach them how to use them correctly and in a safe way, so when they are cutting, they will hopefully do it that way and on the appropriate items. One final activity, number 10, last but not least, is getting creative with drawing and writing skills. Two-year-olds are starting to get into this more and understanding how the markers or pencils work now, and they can control the lines that they're making. During their fun, just coloring and marking time, see if you can throw in some imitation stuff. You draw on your own paper and make lines from the top to the bottom of the page, for example, and say down with each line that you draw. You're basically just modeling for them how to draw these lines, and they might want to draw them too, either on your paper, where your lines are, or on their own. Either way, who cares? Giving them the word down to go along with that specific motor action reinforces that action. And later on, once they've learned how to draw down lines or vertical lines from top to bottom, then you won't have to draw yours first. You will either just see them doing it independently, or you might ask them if they can draw down for you. They will know what that means by that point. After vertical lines come the horizontal lines, and I prefer left to right, across the paper and use the word across at the same time. The word across, though, usually doesn't mean anything to kids at this age, and you might even just start out by making a sound instead. Sometimes I'll just say zoom each time I draw the line across, or choo-choo if they really like trains, whatever it is. Pick something that is consistent with each motion, then eventually when they are starting to get the motions, use the other words, like down or across, with them to give them the real label for those actions. These words, down and across, become helpful when they are trying to draw a plus sign or a cross sign, which is a more advanced imitation and drawing skill. but I use the words down, across, when showing kids that sign as well, and it can help them move on to that one when the time is right. First, they usually have to get the concept of each different direction separately before they can really put them together. And circular motions where they won't necessarily draw a circle, but making continuous circular motions on the paper. You can say circle, circle, circle each time around, or just say around and around and around we go, kind of a song, something like that. So you can use that language and also draw around or draw a circle. These songs and words can help kids make the connections between hearing the words and remembering the action that goes along with it. I don't usually make a big deal about these imitation skills, especially at this age. Just try and incorporate it occasionally during the times when they're coloring. Eventually, they will become more interested in doing it, especially after they've seen you do them several times and it starts to become more familiar. I've mentioned this before, so I won't go into detail here, but these imitation of the lines and circles can be done so many different ways. It doesn't just have to be with drawing. You can do it in sand or Play-Doh, paints or shaving cream or any sensory or other activity that you want to do. They can do it in the bathtub with bath crayons or outside in the dirt using a stick. Anywhere you go, you can reinforce these actions. So I'm going to end there for today. I hope I have given you some ideas that are either new or just help you see that the games and activities that your toddlers are doing are beneficial for their development in addition to just being fun things to do. Follow me on Instagram. I try to post a couple of things there every week that are related to development or OT stuff in some way. Thank you for listening and have a great day.